This morning was a very special morning because it was really nice out, but the water in Lake Michigan was really cold, and I plunged into it. Yes, I did. I was in the polar plunge for Special Olympics, and I want to talk a little bit to some of the people who made it happen and made it possible. I'm going to... joining me to talk about it is Ann Burke. Justice Ann Burke is the originator, the founder of Special Olympics. Welcome to the show, Ann.
Well, good evening, Karen. I'm glad you were able to jump out of the lake in one piece.
My feet are still cold. I don't know about yours.
But yes, my whole body is still cold.
I am still cold. And also joining us is Drew Burlak, who has worked tirelessly for 20 years, has been the past president of Special Olympics in Chicago, and is now the treasurer. Hi, Drew. Welcome.
Hi, Karen. Great to be with you. Justice Burke, good to hear from you again. Hope you all both had a good time this morning at the plunge.
It was
really, we sure did, Drew.
It was fun. I mean, if anyone is, as if you've never been there and you say to yourself, this is not something I'm interested in, it's really fun. I mean, there's the hoopla festivities. There's people dressed in costumes. There are people from the television shows in Chicago being filmed. There are stretchers. There are all kinds of things going on. But let's talk a little bit about, I'm going to kind of go back and forth with some of the Special Olympics, what's going on, and the polar plunge. And a lot of people hear that Eunice Shriver Kennedy was the originator of the Special Olympics, but truly, you were the one who came up with this idea in 1968, which was 50 years ago this year. Tell me the situation that caused you to come up with this great idea to have Special Olympics for kids with disabilities.
Sure, Karen. First of all, our program for the Chicago Park District began in 1965 when I was the physical education teacher teaching kids with disabilities then. And over the next couple of years, 65, 66, and 67, it became very clear that once someone, these children and adults learned a skill, they were quite good at it. And so we started having competition at our park at West Pullman on the southeast side. And also, there were nine other parks in the city. The president of the park district at the time was Bill McFetridge and the vice president, Dan Shannon. They came out to the park, they saw the kids, first time they ever saw them, and they were amazed at their abilities. And they said, well, how many kids like this are in Chicago? And it's, you know, in 1967, 60, that we had no clue, because most of the time children with disabilities were either in institutions or in closets in their home. But at least we had some parents and others around the city that brought their kids out. So having a citywide track meet was something that Park District does all the time with all the day camps at that time, and I thought we'd have one for our kids. So I wrote to Mrs. Shriver and told her what we were going to do in Chicago. She liked the idea. She asked me to write a proposal, in which I did, and she said, well, this isn't big enough. It has to be national. She says, you come back, write a national proposal, and we'll help you. So that's exactly what happened. So I had the idea, and she had $25,000. So
it was a good combination.
It was a good combination. However, you were absolutely correct. Eunice Kennedy Shriver, after our first Chicago Special Olympics in July 1968, saw what was happening, saw the energy and the electricity with these kids, the volunteers, and their parents, finally understanding that their kids could do things, decided to make a national program for every state. So she took the idea from Chicago and brought it to the rest of the country, and now it's in 172 countries.
Drew, can you talk a little bit about having been involved in the Chicago branch of this great organization for a long time? Tell me the numbers of people, of kids who participate in these programs, both here and nationally.
Yeah, so here in Chicago, we've got about 7,500 athletes. We do about 22 different sporting events throughout the year. You know, we're a partnership between the Chicago Public Schools and the Chicago Park District. So many, all of our athletes either work out of a park program or work out of a Chicago Public School. So we've got an amazing group of people at both CPD and CPS who are the coaches for the athletes. And so we are the largest, we're the largest area in Illinois, and we're actually, the Chicago program is actually larger than 26 states in the country.
So just so we can put this, the, the definition of what Special Olympics really is. It's for kids with mental disabilities. And what kind of kids are we talking about? Shirley Down syndrome children, is that correct?
Yeah, so, you know, yes, exactly. So it's individuals with mental disabilities. And yes, you know, Down syndrome is an example. We have many children, you know, with autism and other disabilities. But what I think what's great about the program is, you know, we even have a program starting now for the younger athletes. But I think what Justice Burke can even talk about a little bit is we still have athletes involved that participated in our 50th the games back in 1968.
Yes, in fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about the powerlifting competition. Justice Burke asked me to get involved and see what it was like firsthand to be involved in one of these sessions where they then advance to the next level. And so last weekend, I was at the powerlifting competition at Quest Gym on the West Side, and it was so amazing to see these kids. They had trained really hard. They were in great shape, and they were doing powerlifting, and their form was great, and they were so excited. Their parents were there. They were just kind and wonderful. And I have to tell you, if you could harness that energy in that room and sell it, you'd be a millionaire. But thank you for inviting me, and I just can't say enough about that experience. You know, I guess I'd like to know how often do these kids train, Drew? Do they train on a daily basis?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, there's 22 events. Not every athlete participates in all 22 events. You know, so I mean, obviously the athletes kind of pick and choose what they like to do. You know, a lot of the different park programs, you know, kind of stress maybe some of the other ones over others. But at the end of the day, you know, if an athlete wants to participate in any of the 22 events that we provide, obviously they have the ability to do it. You know, and between May 7th and May 11th, we're going to be having, which is what I think most people, you know, Special Olympics about is our spring games. You know, so on May 7th, we're going to have opening ceremonies at Soldier Field, which is on a Monday, and then the rest of the week will be at Dunbar Park. But I would say, in general, we probably have close to 5,000 athletes that participate in our spring games.
Absolutely amazing. Can you hold with me while we go to break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more?
Sounds great.
All right. Right. You're listening to WGN. It's the Karen Conti Show.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
And we were cold this morning. Actually, we were not cold until we got in that water, and then it was cold. Ann Burke, Justice Ann Burke, and Drew Burlak from the Special Olympics are with me tonight talking about the Polar Plunge and about the 50th anniversary of Special Olympics. And I want to talk to you a little bit about going back to 1968, and you talked a little bit about how things were different with disabled children. Can you kind of give us an idea of what the climate was like there politically, what the climate was like for these kids, and how you think the Special Olympics really has changed all of that in the last 50 years?
Well, Karen, that's a terrific question, because if you put your mind and think about 1965, children and adults with mental disabilities, actually, you never saw them. They were in institutions, or they were in someone's home, and there was an aura of embarrassment. Even doctors and medical people would say if a child was born and had a mental disability, a developmental disability, they were told to put the child in an institution. And a lot of parents actually did that. So generally speaking, the general public really never had access, exposure to these individuals. And even within families, extended family members never really knew that a child was disabled in another part of the family's member. So given that, no one knew anything about people with disabilities. Our park district, the Chicago Park District, was asked to put a program together by the Kennedy Foundation in 65 just to experiment using public facilities, the first in the world, really, public facilities for people with disabilities. There were a lot of questions. What will happen when people see my child who acts different, looks different? Will they be bullied? Will people be ostracized them? And a little bit of that did happen, but very little, because people started to realize that kids were kids. If you threw a ball, they wanted to play ball with you. But they just didn't have the skills. So what we have now and has happened in the last 50 years with the Chicago Park District is inclusion. The siblings and the cousins and members of the park all helped with the kids. So I think over the 50 years, it's just second nature now. We see, we're not afraid. We know what people with disabilities are, who they are, that they're individuals. They're contributing members of our society. They work, they live independently, many of them, and functioning members of society. So we don't have any inhibitions anymore about people with mental disabilities. But it did take quite some time for that to take hold. If you ask any kid today who's 13, oh, they know everything about kids with special needs because they have them in their classes at school.
Mainstreamed, right. And that used to never happen, right.
No, because there was no education for people with disabilities prior to the 1970s.
Drew, how did you get involved in Special Olympics? You're a banker by trade, and you really have immersed yourself, literally, this morning, but in this whole Special Olympics deal. It must be rewarding for you, but how did you get involved?
Sure. It was 1999. I was actually working at LaSalle Bank, that used to be obviously a very large institution here in Chicago. And LaSalle Bank was a wonderful sponsor of Special Olympics. And of course, being a golfer, a banker, I'm also an avid golfer. And so I actually started at the golf competition in 1999. I was a caddy and scorekeeper for a athlete by the name of Charles McDaniels, and that was kind of my first event that I did that I volunteered at. And actually, Charles and I have been doing that event every year since then. And then 17 years ago, I actually took over the powerlifting event that you attended last week, and I've been doing that for 17 years. And just kind of my involvement on the volunteerism side of it, I got to know a lot of the folks at the Park District, especially Jerry Hennigan, and she really encouraged me if I could want to do more to join the board, and I did. And I'm a past president, and as you know, I've been the treasurer for about 9 years.
So, Drew, I have to say, volunteerism is great. It's wonderful. A lot of people think they don't have time for it or they don't have the energy for it. But let me tell you, I think that this is a type of event that I'm going to attend every year until I can't anymore because of the energy and the positive stuff going on, and I'm going to make time to do that. And I hope I'll be welcome to do that. And I guess I want to open this up for anyone else who might want to volunteer. How could people get involved, Drew?
Sure. For the Chicago program, again, we do 22 events around the city all year long. And if you go to our website, which is sochicago.org, we have a calendar of events, and we have the contact information for anybody that would love to volunteer. Because I agree with you. I think sometimes people are a little hesitant. They don't know what they're going to get into. But when you actually go and you see the energy and you volunteer for one of these events, you just want to do more. And so, again, we've got 22 events, and sochicago.org is the place to go to get that information.
Thank you, Drew. Justice Burke, what's been very interesting is this, because the 50th year is coming up and it's the anniversary and it focuses light on Chicago and your founding of the Special Olympics, we know that there's a movie being made about your concept and how it was in 68, and it's going to follow the story of how you got the Kennedys involved. Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, I have to say, Karen, you've caught the bug. It's a contagious affection, isn't it?
It is.
For Special Olympics.
It is.
Yes, they're doing a film. Actually, Matt Weiner was a script writer, and he used to work and volunteer for Special Olympics out in California as a teacher. And it kind of caught him, and he decided he wanted to do a story about how anybody who has an idea, no matter who they are, we should never discourage them. We should always encourage them to do something, because here was an idea. Actually, I was 23 years old at the time, and no college degree. And It happened. People helped me. They mentored me. And it, look where it is today. Obviously, Mrs. Shriver was the one who took it worldwide. But it started here in Chicago with just a little bit of an idea, track meet for people with disabilities. And I think the whole point of the film is to encourage people to, if they have an idea, to follow that dream and don't be discouraged, because you never know. That's how things happen. And it could change the world, just like the Special Olympics movement did. It actually changed the world. I know I can remember sitting in Shanghai when the International Games were out there several years ago. And here I was sitting in the third world country watching the president of China with a lot of his officials watch 8,000 people with disabilities from all around the world march into their stadium. And that was when it really hit me, that yes, indeed, a third world country now is celebrating people with disabilities because they have abilities. So that's really kind of when it hit me that this was just a small idea that could change the world.
Thank you so much for joining us. Justice Ann Burke, thank you. And Drew Burlak, thank you so much, and we'll see you next year.
Oh, yes, before that, in July.
Oh, yes, in July, the 50th anniversary. I'll be there.